KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have cloudy skies. It's 62 degrees in Atlantic. Most of the showers and thunderstorms are off to the southern third of the state in the lower tier counties from about Red Oak over to Clarinda and points south. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your trained home comfort specialist dealer. We'll look for mostly cloudy skies today, a high around 70. A public hearing is set to take place this evening here in Atlantic with regard to proposed amendments to the city's current zoning ordinance. The Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and public hearings begin at 5:30 in the council's chambers at City Hall. Following the hearing, the commission is expected to act on approving the ordinance changes. City Administrator John Lund says the last major update to the zoning ordinance happened 21 years ago in June 7, 1995. In the updated ordinance, four new chapters have been added: wireless communication facilities, solar energy systems, wind energy systems, and landscaping and screening standards. Lund said those four chapters represent the biggest developments in zoning issues since the ordinance was last updated. Definitions were also greatly expanded, he says, to provide a solid footing in which to execute and enforce our regulations with transparency. Where ambiguity exists, Lund says, there are openings for selective administrative application. Four new sections were also added: compliance with state and federal regulations, severability provision, consistency with a comprehensive plan, and publication. A time limit on the effectiveness of building permits was placed in the ordinance to prevent semi-completed construction projects from existing in perpetuity, according to Lund. And for more information on those proposed amendments, you can see the same story that was posted Saturday on the news page at KJAN.com. Officials of the Creston Police Department said this morning that officials with AgriVision in Creston reported Monday that sometime between August 13th and 14th, someone stole a zero-turn radius lawnmower from their business. That machine was valued at $3,500. And Monday afternoon, 52-year-old Robbie Allen Dorn of Creston was arrested in Creston for allowing an animal to run at large. Dorn was cited for the offense and then released. In his weekly report on arrests and incidents, Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater on Monday said 27-year-old Jeffrey Scott Avey of Casey was arrested early Friday morning on drug charges. An Adair County deputy was conducting a traffic stop just south of Stewart on a pickup truck. The driver, identified as Avey, was given a warning for a couple of traffic violations, but arrested following a consent search of the vehicle when the deputy found a pipe with a white crystallized substance inside. Substance was later confirmed to be meth. Avey was charged with possession of drug paraphernalia and possession of a controlled substance first offense. He was released from custody later in the day Friday and $1,000 bond. Sheriff Vandewater reports also 62-year-old Scott Remington of Greenfield was sentenced last week to 2 years in prison for violation of probation in connection to an OWI second offense conviction in Cass County. And 41-year-old Joseph Michael Greathouse of Messina was sentenced last week to 5 years in prison at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Oakdale after pleading guilty to theft in the second degree. Greathouse must also pay fines amounting to $825 plus court costs and submit a DNA sample. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Department yesterday said a deputy in Shelby County on Saturday arrested a Council Bluffs man wanted on a Pott County warrant for parole violation. 26-year-old Justin Tigas was taken into custody in Defiance and transferred to Pottawatomie County authorities Saturday night. He was brought to the Pott County Jail and booked in. And 30-year-old Nicholas Wetherill of Council Bluffs was arrested at his parents' house Sunday following an investigation into a single vehicle accident. The investigation determined Wetherill was driving a car that crashed at around 5:30 a.m. Sunday on the railroad tracks located at Monument Road and Joslyn Avenue. The man fled the scene and was arrested later for OWI second offense after showing signs of impairment. The Union County Sheriff's Office yesterday said 52-year-old Daniel Wayne Wilharm of Afton was arrested Saturday afternoon. Wilharm was taken into custody at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for unauthorized use of a credit card. He was later released on $5,000 bond. The Sheriff's Office said also a Lorimore resident had reported Friday morning that sometime over the past week, someone got into his shed and took a chainsaw and a splitting maul. The loss was estimated at $350. A longtime entertainment favorite will return to Atlantic tomorrow when the Atlantic Elks Lodge begins a weekly bingo night. The Elks will be hosting bingo beginning at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday nights, with the doors opening at 6. The event will be held on the lodge bottom floor with access available only from the rear of the building. The public is invited and welcome to attend, and there will be food and non-alcoholic drinks available for purchase and free coffee. Patrons should be aware that the bathrooms available are not wheelchair accessible, and you must be 21 years of age or older to be on the bingo floor. Elks Exalted Ruler Jim Nutskog said the Elks are excited to make bingo games available to the public and our members for entertainment on a regular basis. He says they'll be using the proceeds to help with their charitable work, including local school scholarships, Boy Scouting projects, school and youth projects, and veterans' needs. The lodge is located at 501 Poplar here in Atlantic, and there is parking located in the rear as well as around on the streets and lots adjacent to the lodge. Officials of the Cass County Health System say they're offering low-cost community blood screenings for people 18 and over this fall in Atlantic, Griswold, and Anita and Messina. Mitch Wiley, CCMH laboratory director, says they want people to be healthy, and the first step in doing that is knowing some of your basic blood work, like cholesterol, blood sugar, and kidney function. By knowing what your numbers are, he says you and your medical provider can talk about what they mean for your health. The screenings will be held in the CCHS Conference Room Number 2 from 6:30 until 11:30 a.m. on September 29th through October 1st. Screenings will also be held in Anita October 3rd, Griswold October 4th, and in Messina on October the 5th. You can make appointments by calling 712-250-8091. The cost for the blood profile is $35. That includes a lipid panel, which is total cholesterol, triglycerides, HDL, and LDL, glucose, complete blood count, or CBC, liver function, kidney function, and thyroid screening. With that $35 blood profile, you can also add these screenings for an additional fee, A1C, which is your blood sugars, for $12, PSA, which is the prostate, for $20, and vitamin D for $30. Participants in those blood screenings should fast overnight before their appointment, although a small amount of water or black coffee the morning of the blood draw is acceptable. The Iowa Hospital Association's legal counsel is pushing back against Governor Branstad's statement that having private companies manage care for Iowa Medicaid patients since April 1st has prevented significant fraud and abuse. Natalie Ginty of the Iowa Hospital Association spoke Monday during a listening post with federal officials.
IHA wants to emphasize that historically Medicaid fraud is extremely rare in Iowa, and that if MCOs were actually finding fraud and billing from providers, there would be news of indictments for these supposed crimes.
118 Iowa hospitals are members of the association. Ginty says hospitals are having trouble getting proper payment from the three private companies.
Instead of fraud, providers are seeing a sharp increase in unpaid or denied Medicaid claims from the MCOs due to increased prior authorizations, unclear claims filing procedures, and complete confusion by the MCOs on proper reimbursement requirements. Rather than mislead the public with unfounded claims of fraud and abuse, IHA encourages the Department of Human Services to focus on real solutions to ensure managed care works.
Branstad released a statement Monday morning saying managed care is working for Iowa taxpayers by stopping improper payments. According to the governor, there were $318 million worth of improper Medicaid payments to Iowa hospitals, doctors, and other health care providers in 2014. Since April 1st of this year, Danny Valentine of Iowa Specialty Hospitals and Clinics in Belmont and Clarion has tracked down nearly 30 payments due her organization for care of Iowa Medicaid patients, but the checks were sent elsewhere. Some went to hospitals in other states.
When I follow up, we usually get the runaround. We get told, hey, we're checking into it, or we get no response whatsoever. And I think that's the part that has been the most frustrating.
And confidential patient information, she says, has been misdirected by the private companies.
I hope something can be done about this, because 6 months in, and all of the issues that providers and patients are dealing with is deeply, deeply frightening.
Jennifer Pearson is a supervisor of patient services for UCS Healthcare in Des Moines. Pearson says none of the three companies that have been managing care for Medicaid patients since April 1st will pay for the prescriptions for patients trying to kick an opioid addiction, so her company has been covering the cost.
Will not be able to sustain this for much longer. Approximately 375 patients will be affected if we can't provide these services anymore. Several people that are being successful in their recovery may be cut off of their medication, leaving them susceptible to relapse and huge setbacks from all the work that they've put in their recovery.
According to the U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, methadone costs $18 a day for outpatient treatment. Officials from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services held a listening post Monday for Iowans with concern about Medicaid privatization. Governor Branstad's office issued a news release about 90 minutes before the event began, saying there had been an unprecedented level of outreach about the switch to privately managed care for the 560,000 poor, elderly, and disabled Iowans who are on Medicaid. Branstad administration officials say they've held 365 meetings throughout the state during the past 20 months to talk with patients and providers about the switch. A new state law requires state officials to hold monthly listening sessions. The next meeting is tomorrow in Waterloo. The news was brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.